Let us start as good Catholics with a prayer, the prayer of the conference. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Mother, give us a heart beautiful, pure and spotless as yours, a heart like yours, so full of love and humility. May we be able to receive Jesus as the bread of life, to love him as you love him, to serve him under the mistreated face to the poor. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Good evening. I hope you are enjoying the conference. And great. In my 6 years attending this conference, the greatest experience has been sharing. Sharing with other chaplains, sharing with the members of Courage and Encourage. So I strongly encourage you to participate in this experience. After reading the pamphlet conference, it brought me great joy that the conference will have is having translations to Spanish, Polish, and Italian, right? But something is missing here. As a priest of second language, probably you have noticed my British accent, and that is not included here. So I hope that there will not be any problem to follow. Let me share a story. Do you like stories?
Yes.
I have chosen Angelo to be the star of this story, but can be anybody. So, you know Angelo, right? Angelo has shared his testimony for the apostolate for years. And as a humble person, and I say it with all my respect, he is a person always ready to be of service of others. So one day, while he was at adoration, Angelo asked the Lord to serve him, not only in the apostolate, but also in his life. Day by day, night by night, Angelo was waiting for a sign from God. So as you know, God has his times and moments to answer prayers. So one night, his dark bedroom was filled with a bright light. An angel appeared while Angelo was sleeping and said, "Angelo, wake up! God has heard your petition of serving him. There is a mountain a few miles from here. You will see in the highest place a huge rock. Go and push the rock. But you had to walk. No public transportation, no bike, no cars. And he will let you know until you will stop." So very early in the morning, Angelo was too excited. He took a shower and dressed comfortably with tennis shoes, knowing that it would be hard in a long walk, and this request will have a huge effort. So day by day, night by night, and week by week, Angelo climbed the mountain, trying to move the rock, but nothing happened. A year after, exhausted and tired, he prayed to the Lord, asking him why he couldn't move the rock, because this is what he requested. He told the Lord, "Lord, your word said in 1 Corinthians that you are faithful and you will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And when we are tempted, you will also provide a way out so that we can endure it." However, as you know, Angelo is very faithful and persistent in his assignments. He continued trusting in God. However, after a few years, he felt hopeless, discouraged, and distressed. Since Angelo was showing discouragement, the adversary, the opponent, the liar, Satan, decided to enter the picture by placing thoughts into Angelo's weary mind. And as you know, that always the devil has a welcoming voice and seduced with a nice and kind way. And he said, "Angelo, you have been pushing against that rock for a long time. It has not moved. So thus he gave Angelo the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. This thought disheartened and discouraged him. And Satan continued, "Why kill yourself over this? Just put in your time, giving just the minimum effort, and that will be good enough." So that's what Angelo planned to do, but he decided to make it a matter of prayer and to take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. He went to the Blessed Sacrament. He knelt in front and said, "Lord, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do what you have asked. And after all this time, I have not even moved that rock by half a millimeter. What is wrong? What am I failing?" So the Lord responded compassionately through the angel again and said, "Angelito, when the Lord asked you to serve him and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against that rock with all your strength, with all your effort, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected to move that rock. Your task was to push. And now you come to me with your strength spent thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong since muscle. Your back strong. Your hands are also strong, become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass those which you used to have. It's true, you have not moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient and to push and exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom that you have done. Now, I, my friend, will move the rock. Push." Push means pray until something happens. Déjenme ver. Something happens here. So now, pray until something happens. So say with me, please. I will pray until something happens and I will not give up. I can hear you. I will pray until something happens and I will not give up. Now tell the person beside you, pray until something happens and don't give up. It's great. And don't give up. Yes. You know, at times when we hear a word from God, we tend to use our own intellect to interpret what he wants. When God wants his simple obedience and faith in him, exercising our faith that move mountains, but know there is still God who moves mountains. We all face terrible, heavy, and huge rocks. I have seen this with the groups I lead. Members of Courage, striving to live chaste lives, trying to move their own heavy rock of same-sex attraction, and nothing happens from the human perspective. In a similar way, members of Encourage, attending the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, praying rosaries, very faithful to novenas and Encourage member meetings, and nothing happens from the human perspective, no change. And the rock still in the same place. Push, push, continue pushing until something happens. Hope is to anticipate something good to come. We as people of faith place hope in God's promises and in the God who delivers on those promises. St. Peter reminds us this in his first letter. He said, "The Lord doesn't delay his promise, But in the previous paragraph, he said, do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Obviously, nobody wants to wait for 1,000 years to see the miracles. But let's take the advice of Mother Teresa. She said, we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. Out of true love and promise to us, the Lord has given us the sacraments as a way of living our faith to the fullest. Just keep in mind that to act faithfully is a matter of your own choice. The dictionary defines the word faithful as being trustworthy. A faithful person is a person in whom you can put your trust. God is trustworthy. You can trust him. You can always put your confidence in him. He will never let you down. God is faithful to every one of his people and look always after us. Not only because the Bible says this, or your priest emphasizes this every Sunday in his homily, but because throughout your life journey, God has provided you with material and spiritual things, including a family. Well, someone will say, Father, I'm not married. I don't have a blood family. Yes, we do. We are not orphans. Our Father is in heaven. Our brother who is Jesus, and a mother that always protects her children, and Saint Joseph as a model of love and faith and humility. I personally and many others can echo the words of the psalm that it said, I have been John and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God is faithful to us when we are tempted. He is faithful when we are weak. He is faithful when we suffer, even when we give us the ministry and the skills that we share with others. God is faithful even when we commit sin. He is faithful. God always has been faithful. Do you believe this? Do you really trust him? Do you believe that he will look after you and your needs? Are you willing to take that step which he has laid in your heart? The I believe we said in the creed, in the original Latin, I believe means credo. It can mean believe in, but it can also mean trust him. The Latin word originates as the compounds of two words. Care, which means heart, and do, which means to put, place, or set. When Christians recite the creed, what we are really proclaiming is that we place our hearts in God. It is commitment to someone with whom we can have a relationship. It is so much more than a simple acceptance of ideas, perceptions, and truth. When we recite the creed, we pledge our very hearts to God. This should have a huge impact on the way we live every day and a profound influence on how we think about God, particularly in the way that we practice the faith. In Jeremiah 33:3, God has promised, if we call him, he will answer us and show us things that we didn't know. This has been one of my favorite readings. But let me tell you, it has not been easy for me to learn and understand what I'm saying. I recently celebrated my 11th anniversary as a priest. I am a late vocation. I am one of the workers of the Gospel of Matthew recount, where the owner hired laborers for his land. The parable said that he hired people toward the end of the day. I was one of them. I was at the end, at the very end of the day. And he called me. And I always remind my community that I'm a man, a human first, then a priest. I don't have VIP with God. I am a man. And as a man and human, I have my heavy rocks and my temptations day by day. Like many, I have a story. One of my fears to be a priest was the promise of celibacy. In my younger years, I was not the best version of myself. In fact, I was considered the black sheep of the family. Women, alcohol, parties, for many years, even though I come from a Catholic family, I was not a testimony, a faithful Catholic. I'm sure that God allowed me to experience these dark moments to come into my life to make me stronger and holier once I passed the test by choosing him above all else. During that time of my life, I experienced weakness and a struggle. I was unable to say a definite no to the sin in my life. Something that changed the perspective of my life was the death of my mother. She was everything to me. Nothing was more important than her love and protection. I was her spoiled son. With the days and months after her death, I lost my hope for living, my desires to be successful in life and business. I was living la vida loca. I was living a crazy life. I have two majors. Could you imagine a single young adult with no responsibility, no commitment, and having a good salary? I had the doors of hell open. And let me tell you, I really had a very deep and close relationship with alcohol and night parties. My environment influenced me. I worked for 20 years for the government. I was a teacher at some school and universities in my native El Salvador. There is one certain point that I thought I was alcoholic. I couldn't manage my life. I said before that God allowed me to experience and touch the bottom of life to change. Tired of this life, I went to confession. And I remember that after my confession, the priest said, "You don't need reconciliation. You need Jesus. You need help." He invited me to a rehab ministry of my parish. And I served in that ministry for almost 10 years before coming to the U.S. in 2001. When I changed my environment, my friends, and my vision of life, that is when my feelings and desires start changing. I discovered that I was not alcoholic. I wanted friends. I didn't want to be alone. My friends were not the friends that I needed. Of course, they were not guilty. I chose this life. However, it has not been an overnight transformation. It has been day by day. I had dreams, goals, and expectations in life. One of them was to be married and have 5 girls. In fact, I named all of them. This was my dream. But it was not God's plan. But I found the perfect woman to marry. We made plans. We were engaged. Everything was ready. We served together in the same parish. We were very involved. I was happy all the time that I was with her. But it felt something different when I was serving God through my brothers and sisters of the community, when I was in adoration, when I was praying. I was transformed, peaceful and joyful. Then something in me started changing. I didn't see myself as a married man, but as a priest. In the process of discernment with my spiritual director, I told him that I was afraid of not being faithful to God, especially in the promise of celibacy. He said, "Every person has received a free will. We alone can make that choice. God will walk with you even if it is not his will. Choose what makes you joyful and peaceful. Do not be afraid. Celibacy is part of the call." "Yes," he said, "it is not easy, but with your effort, your faith in God, your love for Jesus, and his grace, everything is possible." Then he said, you must have the same mind with the church. It's to be one mind with the church. You will not be alone. The Mother Church will walk with you, and the church includes the grace we receive through the sacraments. All the angels, especially your guardian angel and saints. As St. Paul said in his reading, it is not you but Christ who lives in you. To be one mind with the church. In Spanish is sentir con la iglesia, sentire como iglesia. It was the episcopal motto of San Oscar Arnulfo Romero. For those who doesn't know San Oscar Romero, he was a Salvadorian priest and who was assassinated while he was celebrating a mass. He is called the voice of the voiceless, the bishop of the poor. There is a movie called Romero based on his life. At that time, it was not clear the meaning to be one mind with the church. Many questions came to my mind, questions like what I'm looking for, where I am now, where is my hope, where I'm going, what do I want for living? I understood that God plants into every soul a thirst that he longs to satisfy beyond anything we can ask or imagine. I questioned myself. I felt lost as Adam and Eve when God, after their fall, were looking for them. But this question is more than a physical place, but spiritual. I was spiritually lost and probably spiritually dead. And as I said before, God has his own time and moments to answer prayers. But sometimes it is difficult to find him because we hide from him. We are ashamed because of our failures. God is a father. And as a father, his love endures forever. And he loves us even when we commit sin, when we are in the dark moments of sin. God loves us. Obviously, he doesn't love that we commit sin, but as you parents, you love your children, even that they have chosen a wrong path. Yes or yes? Yes. Of course, yes. There is the same love, the same image. The prophet Isaiah said these beautiful words, "For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and a holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lonely in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not accuse forever, nor always be angry. For without me, their spirit fails, the life breath that I have given." Pope Francis, in his encyclical, The Joy of the Gospel, introduces the Catholic Church as a church with open doors and as a mother with an open heart. Jason Ebert, in his book, Forced, said regarding this, "Although you may be tempted to focus only in the times you fall, keep in mind that also God keeps track of your victories. He doesn't identify us by our vices or virtues, so neither should you define yourself of these things. After all, the Christian life is not a contest to win the love of God. After all, the Christian life is not a contest to win the love of God. God is the giver of destiny. There is the meaning, G-O-D, God is the giver of destiny. Responding who I am, I said I am a precious child of God, created in his image and in his likeness. And keep in mind this, our actions do not define who we are. We live in times in a society that label everything and everybody. The cross is the image of love and sacrifice. Everything we get is a gift from God. If we don't use it, we will lose it. I'm not afraid anymore to break the gift of celibacy because I know that the church and me are one mind. Just I need to take care of my senses and appreciate more of the gift that God gave me. When God gives us light through his word, teaching, healing, and so on, we must let it shine. We hide this light when we become complacent. Surrender and let the light of chastity, trust, and hope shine through you. The reward is great. Yes, the road is not easy. You need to find time for what is important. Even if you are tired and you cannot go on, remember that Jesus gave us a special gift, all of us. We have the privilege to share in his suffering. In the gospel of Lazarus' resurrection, when Jesus saw his friend dead, the scripture said, and Jesus wept. This is the smallest verse found in the Bible that shows us the magnificent love of the human God. And Jesus wept. We know that Jesus is God. So God is showing us his human side through the incarnation and Jesus' tears. And Jesus wept contains a complete expression of the love, suffering, and compassion that a magnificent and awesome God has for his creation. When you suffer, God suffers. When you cry, God cries with you. When we are hopeless, he gives us hope and peace. The story of creation in Genesis 1 is a perfect example of my words. Have you read the Genesis 1? I can hear you. The Genesis is a book that is found in a book that is called Bible. I don't know if you remember. Well, this, you know, when the sacred author said that God created heaven and earth, light, darkness, animals, and your pet, God said that everything was good. But the sacred author said that when God created us, when God created you and he created me, it says, and God saw that everything was very good. So you are not good, but very good because of God. So say with me, I am not good, but very good because of God. I can hear you. I'm not good, but very good because of God. Now tell the person beside you, you are not good, but very good because of God. I want to see you. Great. I loved you had to believe in the sacred scriptures. We are not good, but very good because of God. I love the gospel of Jesus crucified between two criminals. One is called the good thief. And being honest, I have not seen any thief doing good things. But the other one is the thief who rejected Jesus. The two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Of course, Jesus represents the kingdom of light. My life was in complete darkness. However, my experience returning to the church, the change of my friends, an environment created a metanoia in my life. When I changed my mind, I saw life in a different way. Nevertheless, the very deep impact, again, was to see a crucifix. And I asked the Lord why he loved me so much that he gave his life through a terrible death because of me. God is the source of unconditional love. And the greatest expression of that love is what Christ did on the cross. Romans 5 said that while we were still sinful, he demonstrated love in dying for us. That in the same chapter said that the Holy Spirit is the one who flowed agape love into our hearts. That only happens when we have to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. The gift and grace of celibacy helped me to be free and to let Christ to live in me. Chastity is what the church invites all to embrace and imprint in the mind and soul. Maybe parts of your life need to be repaired or removed, and other parts need to be improved so that you can be useful for the kingdom of God. God promises blessings to those who turn to him with love. That is found in Tobit. When you turn back to him with all your heart and with all your soul, do what is right before him. Then he will turn to you and will hide his face from you no longer. Now consider what he has done for you and give thanks with a full voice. Bless the Lord of righteousness and exalt the King of the ages. He does this to show us that he is everything and we are nothing. We depend on him for the smallest to the biggest graces. Do not wait for your sin to be exposed. Dig up the truth about yourself and bring the whole ugly mess into the light. And let me remind you, the devil, the accuser, is a liar. He will throw stones. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. Jesus keeps his promises and will not condemn you. There is a beautiful song performed by Nicole Mullen that it said, "When I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I can mount on wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are gonna fall, 'cause he will move heaven and earth to come rescue me when I call. When I call on Jesus, mountains are gonna fall, 'cause he will move heaven and earth to come rescue me when I call." Prayer. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. Without oxygen, we will physically die. Without prayer, we will spiritually die. There is no heavy rock that the Lord cannot move. Remember this. Your miracle will be big is your faith. Say with me, please. My miracle will be big is my faith. Say again that I want to hear you. My miracle will be big is my faith. So now tell the person beside you, your miracle will be big is your faith. Great. Follow the advice of Padre Pio. He said, "Pray, hope, and do not worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful to know and will hear your prayer." Prayer is the best weapon we have. It is the key of God's heart. You must speak to Jesus not only with your lips, but with your heart. The gift and grace of celibacy has set me free, and you can also experience this freedom. But be aware with the advice of St. Peter in his first letter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. Know your enemy also. It is important to know his strategies to avoid it. Satan is the father of lies, the accuser. He comes to cheat, destroy, and steal. Satan will take advantage of our human weaknesses. Satan uses pride to lead us to sin. Satan uses the good to bring in bad results. Satan perverts the truth. We must not tempt God. We must not exchange our spiritual reward for physical reward. For the world, the gift and grace of celibacy, as well the gift and grace of chastity, is useless and impossible. There are beautiful words in the book When Heart Speaks to Heart that I want to share with you. I have paraphrased it. Embrace the cross of Jesus. Be one-minded with him and the church. There is no need for you to become fearful and anxious. All will come to pass as he has promised, but according to his perfect plan, and at the time he has chosen, the best possible time for you and for all concerned. Continue to trust in him and tell him often that all your trust is in the merciful goodness of his heart. Believe in the promises of God. The Book of Wisdom says, The soul of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seem in the view of the foolish to be death, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us, utter destruction. But they are in peace. Righteous in the Bible means good. But we are not good, right? We are not good, right? So we are very good. We are resting in God's hands. And let me ask you, can we find better hands to rest than God's hands? I don't think so. For the world, celibacy and chastity are foolish practices. Let them speak. Remember that we are resting in God's hands. Your soul is resting in God's hands. Jesus promises that he has reserved a place in heaven. He said in the Gospel of John, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be what I am." Here we have a place in heaven. There are many rooms, but without name. We write our names day by day through our fidelity to God, to love others, embracing the cross. The Lord Jesus gave these beautiful words to Saint Faustina. "I will not delude you with prospect of peace and consolations. On the contrary, prepare for great battles. Know that you are now on a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching you. Do not be unduly fearful, because you are not alone." Someone once said, "For every pain that we must bear, for every burden, every care, there is a reason. For every grief that bows the knee, for every teardrop that is shed, there is a reason. For every hurt, for every plight, for every lonely, pain-racked night, there is a reason. But if we trust God as we should, all this must work out for our good. He knows the reason." Let us pray. God, I give you my tomorrow beginning today. Yesterday is gone. The mistakes and the victories are out of my control. Forgive me for those things I did wrong. I thank you for the strength to do things I did right. But tomorrow is yours. All my hopes and dreams, I surrender them to you. All my plans, I lay them before you and ask you to guide and direct me, to open the doors you want to open in my life and to shut those I should not walk through. Use me as your vessel to make a difference in the life of those you have put within my real influence. I give myself to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Muchas gracias.